Blue Jays just continue to absolutely demolish the Yankees,
just in
man.
Every way possible right now.
Wow, it is crazy. I know there's a lot of happy Braves fans right now that are listening going, good. Mets are out. Phillies are getting smacked around. Yankees are getting smacked around. So if the Braves didn't make the postseason, I guess that's about as
we will good wallow. As, yeah. No, we will celebrate in the misery of the others.
Yeah, hold my beer.
No wallowing here.
No, hold my beer. Yankees and your $370 million payroll. Mets and your $850 bajillion payroll. Yeah,
paying those guys all that money.
Phillies, you know that Schwarber, Harper, and Trey Turner are hitting a combined like 100 in the series right now versus the Dodgers. Not that the Braves have any love for the Dodgers, but it's kind of like the best of the evils.
No, we'll just have the Dodgers losing the World Series and it makes everything okay.
Well, the way the Blue Jays are playing right now, I don't know if anybody's beating that team. Raheem Morris, though, getting back to local matters here, did speak today. I thought he had a really wide-ranging press conference, not only about the bye week, but the future and the current state of the Falcons. Some good stuff from him. He started off by saying, we're in the process of forming our identity of this team.
You know, our guys are still forming it. I think you don't have to form the identity throughout the season. I think that thing just earned on tape. And I think the guys are going out there and doing it. You know, the last game was a great example of what it could look like consistently. You know, obviously the game before that was not it. You know, those other two highly competitive games you felt really good about. And we've got to get that one blemish off our record that's really killing it. You know, obviously you want to win them all. That's not the reality of our game, but we're really competitive in three of them, and one of them we were not.
Yeah, and you just try to look at the Panthers game, and the word we used at the time was flush it, and I think they did just that, getting the good win before the bye week, and now it's just about making sure you maximize the rest of the season. It's going to be a long season ahead. You got a big test coming to town on Monday night, and we'll see what this team is made of. This clip I can't play enough. We'll play it one more time. The identity of this team is to run the ball. Thank you, Ra. Thank you.
I think we're a running football team that's able to go out there and run it on just about anybody when you want to run it with the two guys that we do have. I think those guys are doing a great job. I think our up front is having the ability to be able to run the football. We got to find ways to score more touchdowns and do different things like that on offense. I think on defense, we're playing fast. We're playing physical. We're a good tackling football team. They're competitive, which I love. And I think on special teams, I think we got some guys to go out there and just want to play. I think I got high character. They're ready to go out there and make a play for us at any moment.
Yeah, and we've been talking about the offense so much all night. He mentioned the defense there. Ra also talked about why the defense has been so much better this season.
You got to give a lot of credit to the defense, the guys, the attitude. You got to give a lot of credit to the coaching. You got to give a lot of credit to the direction. You got to give a lot of credit to really some of our offense, maintaining the possession as much as they had the ball with the field position, as much as they maintained the ball with the time of possession. All of those things come into a play when it comes to those things. And, like, if you can play, the old cliche, you can play, football together, you got a better chance. It's great. That's what we've been doing.
Yeah, and you got to give a big shout-out again, Xavier Watts, defensive rookie of the month. You got Billy Bowman making big plays, James Pierce Jr., Jalen Walker. Everything that we wanted these young rooks on defense to go out and do, they've been doing it so far, and it's been a major reason why the defensive impact has been to the tune of, Oren, one of the best units in the league. What? Excuse me? I didn't have that on my bingo card. Did you? No. Don't tell me you did, because you'd be a liar. You would be a liar. I'm telling you right now. Nobody had that. Hopefully they can keep it up. That's all we can ask for. Again, no big of a test as Buffalo coming to town on Monday. Next up from Ra, he was talking about Michael Penix Jr. and how he was able to bounce back.
I've been really comfortable with Mike for a long time, I'll just talk about the latest thing he did, and it was last week in his response when he came back after a bad game. That is the telltale sign for quarterbacks, how you respond after it doesn't go your way. It's not absolutely what you wanted to look like in the game, and you have to respond and play better. And you got to play better around them, but how do you respond? And I love this practice response. I love this verbal response to his team. I loved his response in the game, and I loved his response after of knowing it's a process. And I love how he reacted to the criticism. I loved how he reacted to everything. Like, we talked about it last week. I said, they said, the pistol thing and the stats and this and that. And it was like, you got to play. And we got the stones rightfully, and he handled it the right way, and I was proud of him.
Yeah, and the thing about this game coming up on Monday is don't try to do too much. Let the running game, as we've been talking about, dictate the tempo and dictate the pace of the game. Because if you get into a shootout with Josh Allen, he's the MVP. So I'm not saying Penix can't, or not even that I don't like him in that situation, but Josh Allen is the MVP of the league for a reason, and it's not a situation where you want to start going tit for tat with him. You want to let the running game, which is your bread and butter, dictate the pace of play and dictate everything that you need to do to control the tempo, control the line of scrimmage, and win this game. Also talking about Michael Penix Jr., Raheem Morris says that the young QB doesn't require any special conversations. He just goes out there and he's ready to play.
Mike's kind of even keel. Like, it's like you're almost forcing extra conversation if you're doing that with Mike. I think Mike's kind of one of those guys that has his process. You know, he's very inquisitive. If he has a question, he'll come ask. If he needs anything, he'll ask. That's very rare. He trusts himself. He trusts in his abilities. He trusts his coaches, and he lets it go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the guy that we've seen so far, right? I mean, the one blemish is in the Carolina game. You saw him sort of get down and you get down on himself, but that's understandable. Again, he was a guy making his, whatever it was, seventh start at the time in the NFL. It's okay if he shows a little frustration and a little emotion. That just means that, you know, he cares and that he wants to do well and that he wants to have the right process and be the guy that we all think that he can be. I got nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not Tom Brady in year 15 having a bad game. He's essentially, again, a rookie. And that's just the way that he needs to approach it. And I think that's a really good job out of Raheem explaining that about the young QB. We talked about this earlier. Xavier Watts, NFC Defensive Rook of the Month. Awesome stuff. Here was Ra.
Yeah, I was kind of messing with him. I said if he'd had two more picks in the first game of the season, he might have been Defensive Player of the Week, not just rookie or month. He's doing well, and we talked about how they've helped and how they've been able to, quickly affect us and be able to play, but he's doing a wonderful job. I think he's taking the coaching. I think he's the skill sets and everything that our scouting department and our coaches all helped to go find, and bringing that kind of talent to what we want to do is always something that you love, and we're fired up to watch him go out there and have a bunch of success.
Yeah, it's not just him. It's everybody. It's Billy Bowman. It's Xavier Watts, it's Jalen Walker, it's James Pierce Jr. All the rookies that we needed to contribute on offense are doing exactly that. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Raheem Morris spoke for the first time since the bye week. We're letting you hear what he had to say. Next up, how to rush Josh Allen and try to get him uncomfortable.
You know, well, this week's unique, right? You got a guy back there that we just mentioned that is unique in itself. So when you do pressure, you like to get him on the ground. You know, if you don't, he can make you pay in the worst way. So, like, you just want to focus on making sure that we are in the right rush lanes and doing the right things in order not to allow him out the pocket to be able to crease you and run the football, right? We had Baker get us, I think, three times in the first game. Mariota got out once or twice. And these guys are getting more and more athletic. So you just got to make sure you focus on how you use your rush lanes, how to utilize some of those things, whether you're a blitzer or whether you're just part of the four-man rush, whatever the case may be. So, like, the discipline, the division and violence that you need to rush with has to be sure we always keep that on the uptick.
Yeah, and then he went on to say about Josh Allen and the passing threat. We all know he's as gifted of a thrower with the ball as anybody in the league, and he and Michael Penix Jr., again, that's why I keep saying you don't want to get into a shootout, because Penix can keep up, but again, Josh Allen is the league MVP, and Penix is rivaling him in terms of one of the strongest arms in the NFL, but Josh Allen has the experience on his side right now, and Raheem Morris talked about it.
He can throw the ball anywhere. You know, I remember he hit us with a post ball moving up in the pocket that he absolutely threw a dime on, and watch him. He caught us in a defense, and they had two verticals down, and he's able to manipulate the rush and be able to absolutely keep all his power and throw off balance and off platform throws just about anywhere in the field. And he can throw the ball on time. He can throw it off schedule. It doesn't matter, and he's fearless. And that's what you want in your quarterback. You know, he's something that you look at, and you look at Mike and go study some of the things that he's able to do and watch some of those things, how he's able to get the ball down the field. But he's amazing. He's a good player.
Yeah, and listen, it's not an impossible task. We talked with Christopher Price from the Boston Globe and the Believe Network NFL Insider about what the Patriots were able to do last weekend to slow down Josh Allen and the offense and how they were able to take advantage of it and make him look human and make him look normal. What about scouting him? Raheem Morris went into some further detail about how to slow down QB1 for the Bills and what that requires.
Raheem, yeah, a lot of people, including this building, they talk about playing the second play, you know, and you got to be able to play the second play. Like when it starts right away, once he starts moving around, his head doesn't go down and look to run right away. His head is always down the field, ready to throw. He put a great one on tape the other night. I know you guys are watching as he's able to step up in the pocket and absolutely rip a dime. That's what he does. So you got to cover longer than you normally would when you play a guy like that. You know, he's not the first person to present that challenge in his league. And I can remember with Cam Newton when he first got in the league and how dangerous he was. And now you're seeing it at a even higher levels with all of these guys. So, like, you know, they all present that challenge. Last night, Patrick showed it. All these guys show it, you know, and he's one of the best doing it.
Yeah, he is. But you also have one of the best defenses going right now. So you got to be able to go best on best there, as they like to say, and show that you're able to make the adjustments necessary, come up with a good game plan this week, and be ready to attack, just like New England was last weekend. New England's an ascending team. I think the Falcons are better than the Patriots right now. So definitely, if the Patriots can do that, why can't the Falcons? That's what I'm talking about. 404-726-0929. One more before we get out of here, then we'll let you hear from Will McFadden, senior writer and reporter of AtlantaFalcons.com, and then a producer six-pack to close out this Tuesday show of Chris Thomas tonight. Here's Ra talking about how special it is to play on Monday Night Football at home.
I think it's awesome for the city to get it just because the city deserves it. Our fan base deserves it. You guys be able to get out there and be able to get those things. But, like, I love it for the young team to be able to go out there and put those guys in those great spotlights to let them know, man, these games are all huge. They're all big. They're all unique. And, like, I love our response and how we're able to go out. I love how we practice. I love how we play. And I really love it for our organization more than anything, just to be able to get that game that means a lot for the week and for everybody else when they're watching. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's going to be a showcase to the world, to the nation. How close is this Atlanta Falcons football team? How close are they to be able to put up or shut up with perhaps the prohibitive Super Bowl favorite right now with the way that the Eagles lost? I don't know. We'll have to see. Are they up for the challenge? I think they are. But they certainly have to do everything and more than what Raheem Morris just talked about as he spoke to the media today. And good stuff there from Coach. I thought he was honest, transparent, as always. And he's going to do the best to make sure that his squad is ready to go on Monday night. What about the injuries? What about A.J. Terrell? What about Darnell Mooney? What about getting Kyle Pitts more involved in the offense? We break everything down with Will McFadden, senior writer and editor of AtlantaFalcons.com. Excited to bring you that conversation next. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle till 10 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Raheem Morris back to work today at Flowery Branch, meeting the media to break that down and all things latest on your Dirty Birds. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, appreciate the time. As always, let's start with a little injury update. Two key guys we're waiting to hear on. What did we hear about Darnell Mooney and A.J. Terrell?
Yeah, I'll start with the second name there first, Chris, because that's really the one we've got an update on. And it seems like, you know, he didn't go all the way out and say AJ is coming back. You know, he said Raheem Morris, when I say he, said that the Falcons could take the decision all the way up until game time. But he did say that they feel good about the possibility that AJ Terrell can return for obviously an important game against a really good offense. They expect him to be able to practice throughout the week. And, you know, as he said, they'll make the decision kind of all the way up to game time. But I would expect and keep an eye on the injury report on AtlantaFalcons.com throughout the week. If he's at least a limited participant throughout the week, and if at any point he's kind of a full participant, I might like his chances, again, just kind of knowing this matchup. And then when it comes to Darnell Mooney, you know, Raheem didn't give a very clear update on that other than, you know, they're going to kind of watch him throughout the week and see where he's at. He obviously left the week four game against Washington with a hamstring in the third quarter. So it's been kind of a tough, I think, start, obviously, with the shoulder and now the hamstring for Darnell. They would love to have him out there and be healthy, but hamstrings are tricky. So that's kind of the latest on those two guys. It sounds good maybe on the A.J. Terrell front, and then Darnell is a little bit more wait and see.
Was there any discussion today or even before today from Raheem or the coaching staff about preparing for this unique bye week, considering how long it is and how they're planning to ramp the guys back up to play?
Yeah, that's a great topic that I'm sure, you know, obviously the coaching staff has plans in place for all things like this, right? They're going to have a trip to Berlin later this year. So it's like all of these are things when you first get the schedule and we all go through, you know, jerks like me are like, all right, wins and losses. Let's go ahead and do it. The actual teams are kind of looking at it from a logistics standpoint. So you're right. This is a weird week coming off the bye and then having a Monday night game. So today, for all intents and purposes, was kind of a Monday for the Falcons, even though it's a Tuesday. So tomorrow is a Wednesday, but it's a player off day because they're going to treat it like a Tuesday. So everything's kind of getting bumped back this week. So they're going to kind of try to keep a regular in-season cadence and have kind of the same rest time between, you know, that Saturday walkthrough will now happen on Sunday, like little things like that. So I don't know specifically from like a physical and conditioning standpoint and, you know, are they going to go heavier in practice or not? Like that's probably a little too in the weeds. But it is something that they're bumping everything back a little bit just because of the primetime game.
When it comes to the game plan versus Buffalo, I think one thing is abundantly clear, and that is if they're going to win this game, Will, the running game is going to need to be at the forefront.
Absolutely, and I kind of actually thought that was one of my favorite parts of Raheem Morris's press conference today, which, again, you're free to go watch him on the Atlanta Falcons YouTube channel, and you can disagree or agree with him on your own. That's not for me to sit here and tell you what to believe, but I liked the confidence that he displayed while he was talking about the Atlanta Falcons run game. And it was kind of brought up to him with the pistol formation and just like the usage rates and tendencies and all of that. And he kind of was like, yeah, look, when you've got a good run game, it's a little bit of like, you know what's coming, go ahead and stop us, right? And I like that bravado a little bit because the Falcons do have the type of unit to back this up, right? When we were looking at the Matt Ryan, Mike Mularkey offenses in 2008 and 2010, there wasn't much mystery about what was coming. It was Michael Turner kind of right downhill running behind, you know, Harvey Dahl and Tyson Klebo, right? So there is some of that, I think, to this Atlanta offense. They do have a little bit more set dressing, which is part of the design of everything, but in this matchup, having a run game like Atlanta does to be able to not just dictate pace, but hopefully wear the Bills down, right? If Atlanta's defense is able to create a turnover or two, kind of like the Patriots were able to do in their win against Buffalo, then you really think Atlanta, which has dominated time of possession in kind of all of these games, can have a nice little path to maybe emerging with a victory in this game. So the run game is going to be at the forefront of that. When you've got Bijan Robinson, that makes all the sense in the world. And then you let Michael Penix Jr. play off of that.
What, if anything, you just mentioned the Patriots, do you think that they gleaned from film study about how they were able to stop the high-powered offense that coming into that game, Will, was averaging 33 points a game?
Yeah, it's, I was trying to kind of figure that out as I was watching in real time, and I'll be honest, I haven't had the chance to go back and watch that game in the All-22, so I'll stay away from kind of the schematic stuff. I think just in the sense of the game, I feel like they were taking away really what the Bills wanted to do, and you almost sense Chris Collinsworth, I feel like, frustration at times calling the game. He was like, look, you've got some awesome players, just use them, like iso ball a little bit. And it kind of felt like the Bills went into this wanting to get some of their weapons, some of their tertiary weapons involved and get them jump-started a little bit. I do think what I've seen is Dalton Kincaid is operating a little bit more as a safety blanket for Josh Allen, not in the sense that he's like a check down guy, but kind of more in the when things break down, who is somebody that he's kind of looking his way often. So I think that's going to be a really nice matchup between Divine Diablo and Dalton Kincaid. And can they come away on third downs with some stops, maybe in those areas where if you're able to flush Josh Allen out of the pocket, you know, then plaster your guys downfield. And Divine Diablo is amazing at that. And then a real kind of X factor for me that is unlike really anything that the Patriots had defensively, and that's maybe the defenses are just a little bit different to me, Chris. So that's kind of why I don't know if there's a ton that you truly carry over, but Jalen Walker is going to be a little bit of an X factor in my mind, just because when I'm trying to think of like who is an athlete that you could potentially have spying on Josh Allen, Jalen Walker is a guy that I love in that role. So he is unique. The Patriots don't really have a guy like him. So for that reason, I think Atlanta can get a little bit fancy and disguisey here with Josh Allen.
Talking all things Atlanta Falcons, Buffalo Bills with Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Make sure you check out all his work there. You mentioned the linebacking crew. I think they were maybe the most underlooked, maybe under-evaluated group going in because of all the other question marks about the rookies. But you just mentioned Divine Diablo. I think between he and Caden Ellis, and I guess we'll see what happens with Troy Anderson, but I think they've been one of the better groups at their position in the entire NFL.
Absolutely. And it was one of those where it was, you know, it's something ever since the Saints, when they kind of hit on DeMario Davis and they hit on a couple of linebackers in particular, even, you know, when Terry was with them, I was kind of like, man, he's got something with linebacker. And then like just being able to identify, you know, I don't know if that is Terry Fondo, if that's Ryan Poles, if that's, you know, whoever. It's probably a collaboration of everybody in the front office. But for whatever reason, like they're at the linebacker position and identifying guys who are a little bit uncovered gems, because that is what Caden Ellis was, and that is what Divine Diablo is. So for that reason, once they made that move for Divine Diablo, he was the first guy in free agency I flicked the tape on for. You know, I was like, I want to kind of see why they chose to bring him in here, because Caden Ellis is such a Swiss Army knife player that you really want to have a rock solid guy next to him. And I felt like they thought that he could be an upgrade in coverage, which I really think he has been over Nate Landman. And Nate Landman's been amazing in LA, so that's not a slight to Nate Landman in the least. But his length and his just safety feel, because he played safety in college, is awesome there in the middle of the field. But really, Divine Diablo's run defense is the first thing that jumped out to me when I first turned it on back in March, because he is like so fast at diagnosing the play as it's happening. Then he is really nimble at evading blockers and just kind of like knifes in there. So he really offers the full package. He just kind of happened to play for a team that not many people have been watching that much in the Las Vegas Raiders. So really glad that Divine Diablo is in the red and black now, because watching him next to Caden Ellis not only makes the defense better, but it's just really, really fun out there.
Any reason to believe Parker Romo's not kicking on Monday night?
At this time, no. I would, you know, again, anything can happen. And with Wednesday kind of being a Tuesday, like, who knows? But at this point, I would bet the status quo remains.
Yeah, it seems like at this point it'll be his own fault, I guess is the nicest way to put it, if he no longer kicks based on the status of what went down over the last couple of weeks. When we look at the wide receiving core, we obviously are talking about this matchup. How much of it now with Darnell Mooney, even if he plays, obviously we don't think he's going to be 100%. How much can we expect more based on the way he's positively performed so far this season to be put on the plate of Kyle Pitts? I think based on what we've seen, Will, I would throw it to him more.
You know, that's exactly as you were asking that question, and I was kind of like, all right, I think this is where he's going with it. Kyle Pitts was going to be my guy, right? I do think he's earned and shown you that, yeah, you can lean on him maybe a little bit more than you have, and maybe to the level that fans have always hoped that you could, because he really did show me something, I think, on that third down play. not only because of the magnitude of the moment, but, you know, you talk about getting grabbed, illegal contact, pass interference, all that stuff. And then for, like, Michael Penix didn't really, I feel like, change where he was going to put that ball. Even though Kyle Pitts got grabbed, it kind of felt like Michael Penix was throwing it to where he was always expecting Kyle Pitts to be, and Kyle Pitts still got there, which that kind of showed me everything where it's like, yep, that is the guy that everybody kind of wanted coming out of Florida. It's what he looked like his rookie year. He snatched the ball out of the air with a little bit of attitude, as in, like, this is a big moment, give it to me. So if he can build on that and continue to show that consistently week in and week out, then, yeah, you do have another option if a player like Darnell Mooney is out, if Drake London has to miss any time and Darnell's back. Like, when you start looking at just the two wide receivers who are the number one receivers for Atlanta, now you can maybe expand that a little bit and say, okay, they've got the three that you were always hoping they would have because Kyle Pitts has elevated his game to that level. So in addition to Bijan, in addition to Tyler Algier, if Kyle Pitts can become that kind of de facto number two receiver, if you're down a Darnell Mooney, that will be huge for this offense.
Will, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the game on Monday. We'll chat soon.
Of course, Chris, anytime.
That is our good buddy there, Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, how about a little producer six-pack? We changed things up a little bit because we got ourselves into a LeBron, why are you like this conversation. So we moved the producer six-pack to close out the show. I'm excited to do it. Four sports questions of any kind, two anything-goes questions, lifestyle, could be, well, anything. We'll see what Orin has cooked up next to close out shop. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. 92.9 The Game, going to get to a producer six-pack here to close out the show in just a second. But, Orin, before we do that, heard something on Dukes and Bell that piqued my interest a little bit, made my ears perk up. I think I got that right eventually.
Go on.
New Superman movie.
Yeah. Mike and Carl. Well, Mike has watched it. Carl is in the process of watching it.
First of all, listen, I get we're all busy. I get it. It's 2025. We're distracted. We're busy. We got ish to do.
Yeah,
I get it.
There's things happening.
When was the last time you sat down and watched a movie in parts?
Over a couple of days.
Come on, man. Come on, Carl. You couldn't just carve out 2 hours and watch the damn thing? Come on, man. Just watch the movie. If you don't have time, don't watch it. Like, a movie is not meant to be watched like a TV series,
in parts.
Man. Yeah, let me just pause it here 46 minutes in, and then I'm gonna pick it back up later on. Come on, Carl. That's bad form. Especially because, Carl, I like his taste in movies.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like he has a good perspective on movies. I don't like that.
Okay.
Watch the damn movie, Carl.
It's fair.
You could tell him I said that. I'm not afraid of the repercussions.
Oh, my gosh.
Watch the damn movie, Carl, first of all.
Oh,
second
wow.
of all, I didn't really like the movie. I'm not going to lie.
We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was gimmicky. I didn't like the dog. I didn't like Lois Lane, like, forcing her into a superhero-type role at the end of the movie. And I thought it was too much of an overcorrection from the movies from the Snyderverse being too dark to this one almost having, like, a semi-comedic tone to it
okay.
throughout the movie. So I was surprised to hear them say that they. What do you think?
I enjoyed it. I'm a big Superman guy. Superman was the first superhero that I gravitated towards, and I appreciated it more so than the recent iterations of Superman because they made it like Superman is supposed to be a beacon of hope and you know, encourage. Like, it's supposed to be a message of like, oh, the, you know, things are going to get better. Things can be better. And the Henry Cavill and Brandon Roth, those
Supermans. Oh, it was the opposite of that.
Yeah, those are dark as hell,
It's how
man.
The government would interfere if superheroes ever came down
yeah, dude,
on
it
Earth.
Was dark as hell, man.
It was.
And very the other, dark.
Okay, and all right, so we agree on that. Here's the other thing. I loved Fantastic Four. I can't believe they didn't like it.
I have not watched it yet.
It's really good.
I do. The statement I made about it, I do believe that I don't think we'll see another standalone Fantastic Four movie, at least not for a very long time. But in this universe, you needed them to bridge the gap and introduce the new big bad that's going to be for Secret Wars. So
yeah, everybody, it's Doctor Doom. Everybody,
it is Doctor Doom.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.
They've never mentioned it to us, but
no spoiler alert. I mean, that's well, if you don't know that by now, you've been living under a rock.
But there's elements of what they do and who they are that play heavily into that storyline. So
I will say this. Not comparable, the best one by far out of all the ones that have been made, and one of the better Marvel films of the past 5 or 6 years. I really enjoyed it. So I disagree.
My friends, they thought it was a very strong movie. It just
I disagree.
The length
firmly,
was kind of odd, but it was a very strong movie.
And Mike, you know, spitting all over the Silver Surfer character. Why? Julia Garner was fine. Was she great? No, but she was fine. Wasn't amazing. I mean, she didn't need to be. She was a side plot character.
Absolutely.
Galactus
is the big bad. Silver Surfer is just the one that sort of makes you so Galactus can come.
Disagree firmly with Dukes and Bell. Firmly. All right. I just had to get that off my chest.
Feel free to. It's okay.
Yeah, man. I just,
you know. It's an open space here, Chris.
I usually respect those guys' film takes. I couldn't disagree more today. Carl, watch the damn movie, please. Thank you, sir. All right, let's finish up the show with a producer six pack.
Every day you're going to come in now. Have you watched the movie, Carl? Did you finish the damn movie, Carl? Every
come
day.
On, Carl.
Every day. Question number one. We are currently in the divisional round of the Major League Baseball playoffs. The Yankees are down 2-0 to Toronto. Milwaukee is up on Chicago. The Phillies are down to the Dodgers. And after tonight, it looks like the Mariners are going to be up over on the Tigers. So after those kind of wild card games and where we stand right now in the divisional round, have your predictions for who you think is going to be in the World Series changed?
Yeah, my original prediction was a Yankees-Dodgers rematch. Now I think it's going to be Blue Jays and Dodgers. I think those are clearly the best two teams right now. The Blue Jays offense in this postseason has been, I don't know if it's quite historic because I just don't know the numbers, but it's been electrifying to say the least.
A lot of no doubt games.
Yeah.
Quite a few no doubt games.
They're playing out of their mind right now. So yeah, I think they're going to take care of business tonight. And, I think I would change my prediction from Yankees Dodgers rematch to Blue Jays, Dodgers.
All right. We saw last night a Jacksonville team that won a football game in the manner in which they did, and now sit at 4-1 tied in that division with the Indianapolis Colts.
Just like we all had. Speaking of predictions.
Just like we all predicted. Do you think the Jags can be a playoff team?
Yeah, because their division stinks. But one of those two teams is going to come back down to earth.
Hopefully.
I just don't know.
I don't
which,
say hopefully.
I just don't know. Well, we play the Colts later in the year.
Yeah, let's
so
go ahead and beat them once.
Let's hope it's the Colts. I don't think both of those teams – because the. Let me put it to you this way. Let me see if you agree with this assessment. To me, through five games, the Colts feel like more serious contenders than the Jaguars. The Jaguars, the 4-1, kind of feels a little fugazi to me.
There's competent play right now, more competent play from Daniel Jones than there is from Trevor Lawrence. And Indianapolis has arguably right now the best running back in football,
yeah, and
Jonathan
Taylor.
And their defense been lights out this year, too.
Jinx,
so.
You owe me a soda.
Oh, son of a gun.
Or maybe you'll owe me a bottle again at the end of the year.
We'll
dunk,
see.
Dunk, dunk, dunk. But you had a nice little weekend, sir. Back in the lead.
I did.
Back
shout out,
in the lead.
Shout out my dogs.
Yeah. I didn't believe.
Don't know if you saw this. I know you saw the play before it. Emery DeMercado decided that he was going to drop the ball before he crossed the plane of the goal line, which I still don't understand why anybody wants to do that. Just
called ego, Oren.
There you go.
It's called ego.
In any case, he did not score a touchdown. Would have been a 70-some-odd-yard touchdown run. Instead, he just finished with a 70-yard run. And
Meanwhile, he's only in the game because literally their entire backfield is hurt.
Yeah, everybody's hurt right now.
So he's not even somebody that should be
James
like
Connor. Yeah,
he should be so grateful to be in the game at that moment.
He absolutely should.
And instead, ego.
There was a moment on the sideline after it happened where somebody caught on video him being consoled by offensive lineman Paris Johnson while head coach Jonathan Gannon walks up and has some stern words for him and then appears to make contact with him after he finishes talking. Gannon received a $100,000 fine by the Cardinals. So the organization fined him $100,000, not the league, the organization did. Yay or nay on that fine by the Cardinals?
It's optics. You have to. You can't not. If this was 1975, we wouldn't even be talking about it. If this was 1985, we wouldn't even be talking about it. This was 1995.
Probably still not.
So that just goes to show you it's just where the state of things are right now. You can't have your coach getting into it to a certain extent with a player, and that's the line you can't cross. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what it is. That's the line you can't cross. You cannot, as a head coach, put your hands on a player under any circumstances. None. So was the fine deserved? Absolutely. But I think it's just more a representation of how the state of the NFL has changed. Because back in the day when our parents were playing and watching football, even when I was playing football as a freshman in high school, I was a defensive tackle. If I let the running back slip past me in the gap, my face mask was getting ripped into his face and his spit would be flying into my face. So it's just a different time. That's all. But it's not, that doesn't make it right, but it's just a reflection of where we are.
Next question, sir. More surprising right now, Miami still being undefeated or Texas and Penn State both having 2 losses each?
Definitely Texas and Penn State, because I think we all knew Miami was going to be pretty good. I don't know if we knew they were going to be this good, but the Penn State thing's unbelievable. I mean, why even let James Franklin finish the season at this point?
It's the first time in, 40 years that a team that was a top five team or a top the preseason top five lost to an unranked team or something like that?
Yeah, that was 0-4. Yeah, a team that was like 0-4 to start the year. Mike Conti was at that game.
I know some friends that also were at
that game.
It's gorgeous, and it's an amazing scene out there at the Rose Bowl.
That doesn't
help, though, watching it at loss. No.
And Texas is going to – this season for Texas will go down as one of the most overhyped players of all time. It's simple. It's a declarative statement at this point. Arch would have to go on like a – 25-2 touchdown interception ratio to end the season and complete, 68% of his passes in order to regain even 80% of the hype that he had going into the season.
All righty, sir. Something that's being brought back that was really, really cool. It looks like next month at ComplexCon in Vegas is going to be a return of Versus, which is they take two musical artists and they kind of pit them together and they play 20 songs.
Yeah, this was the thing during COVID.
It was the thing during COVID. You are correct. It's going to be Cash Money versus No Limit. But seeing how it came about during COVID.
Cash Money like YMCMB?
Cash Money, maybe there'll be some YNCB. Maybe there'll be some. I don't know how far they'll go down that hole. Like, give me Wayne, but don't give me Wayne like... give me like Wayne in like 2008, 2009.
Well, I was just about to say, the reason I ask is because that was my heyday when it comes to hip hop. That was junior and senior year of high school for me. That was the Carter Three. That was everything.
But yeah, it came about during COVID and it was great during those times. Is there something you miss from that COVID period?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I liked walking around big stores that were empty.
Okay, it's fine.
I'm not gonna lie.
That's fine.
I'm not gonna lie. I really enjoyed that. And because my schedule was what it was at the time, I was producing for Amy Lawrence. My shift started at 10 p.m. I had all day.
All day.
I had all day. I just miss walking around a Walmart or a mall and just literally feeling like the king of the world. I had the entire place to myself at like, you know, noon while everyone was working from home. I was just prancing around
out and about
like a king. I never had to worry about like those store limits where people had to wait outside with masks on. I never had to worry about getting a table at a restaurant because of the way my... I don't want to say this because like it sounds awful, but like it's just because of how particular my schedule was. Like I was able to like do a lot of things during COVID that most normal people couldn't. So it was, I guess, you know, I made the most of it.
Yeah,
I guess
no, that's fair. That's fair. There's some things about the period that people love, and that, hey, I have no, there's nothing I'm going to say about that bad.
No, it just, and it's only that. Trust me. It's not, it's nothing
no,
else. Nothing
that.
Else.
Last one here, as always. Weekend plan, sir.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So my girlfriend was supposed to go away last weekend. That didn't happen. Unfortunately, there was a death in the family of her friend. So that was really unfortunate. But this weekend, she is going to Arizona to visit some family. So I will once again, officially have
a free
the bachelor weekend. And I'm finally going to go see him. I made the decision. I'm going to go see it, Oren. Bad reviews be damned.
Him.
Yeah. The Marlon Wayans, football movie.
Yes.
I'm going to go see it, and I'll have a review for you guys next week.
So, I look forward to that.
It's getting trashed, but I really want to see it. All right. That'll do it for this edition of Chris Thomas Tonight. Man, I think Blue Jays Dodgers, if that's the World Series, I'll tell you what, that's going to be that might set a record for runs scored in that one. This is crazy. Good job, O. Appreciate everybody checking in. Appreciate all my guests, everybody who called in. Tomorrow we get the full four. We'll dive further into Falcons and Bills coming up on Monday night. Joe Patrick stops by for his weekly spot. Excited to chat with you all tomorrow. Chris Thomas Tonight, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Night, 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 night,